Okay. Before I lose.
So, are there any objections?
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready to do a roll call?
Tell it. What are we voting on now?
The main amendment now.
The main amendment or the main motion?
It's Todd's amendment. So, if I'm not mistaken, we have to vote on this now as the amendment to the main motion.
That's correct.
Yes.
Does anyone need this reread?
Yes. I had to leave the phone for a second. You can read it.
Yeah, so I need it reread.
Okay. The amendment reads the same as it did. The amendment to the main motion now is the runner-up from each signal area shall receive... The runner-up from each signal area shall serve as an alternate to represent the signal area in the absence of the elected representative. Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Lydia Brazon. Jim Brown.
Yes.
A.C. Byrd.
Yes.
Cade Campbell. Mark Hernandez. Bob Lederer.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, no. Rosalinda Palacios?
No, yes.
Richard Phelps?
No.
George Ryder? Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Julie Rodriguez?
Yes.
Wendy Schroll?
Who are you guys going to get to be the alternate? I say no.
I'm sorry, point of order.
No.
Jim Shafto? Not here. Okay.
Who's that?
This is Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Hi.
We're in the middle of a vote.
Is there anyone who hasn't voted other than Lydia?
Are
we going to tell Lydia what the vote is? Or what we're voting on?
7-4 with 0 abstentions.
7-4 with 0 abstentions. Okay.
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear that.
7 in favor, 4 against.
Okay.
So, Lydia, we just voted on an amendment to the main motion concerning the COI National kind of coordinating working group, and now we're going to vote on the main motion. So if you'd like to hear it, I guess if you have any minor questions, quick questions.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You should just proceed. But what is the mute number for this number?
*6.
*6?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Let me see how this fits in. Does this tack on to the end here? Yes, it tacks on to the end.
I suggest maybe it could be the next to the last sentence? Might fit a little better there.
Let me grab that then. All right, give me one second to put this together so I'll read exactly what we're all going to be voting on.
And don't forget the addition about web streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Could just say all meetings shall be web streamed.
Let me get... So you think this should be,
I think it flows after the first sentence where it talks about 5 representatives elected, and then, the provision for those that can't be here.
All right. So what I have as the amended main motion now is, pardon me, the PNB Governance Committee recommends that the PNB create an inclusion working group of 5 representatives, one elected by each signal area committee of inclusion, in order to communicate about and coordinate their work and to prepare and offer policy recommendations to the PNB. The runner-up from each signal area shall serve as an alternate to represent the signal area in the absence of the elected representative. The working group shall observe the open meetings and notice requirements for PNB committees included in Article 8, Section 5 of the bylaws. All meetings shall be web streamed. Okay.
But what? When did you decide?
Somebody just said something and I can't tell what they just said.
I'm sorry, my background's noisy. I'm going to mute again.
Julie, are you there?
I think she's going to mute. Hello?
No, that was Serene who said she was going to mute. Maybe Rosalinda,
oh.
You might want to run the meeting till Julie comes
Julie
back.
Julie there?
Okay. So, are we ready to vote?
I'm ready.
Okay.
So. Okay.
Okay.
So I've read the motion, and this is the roll call vote. Grace Aaron?
Okay. Yes.
Lydia Brezon? Jim
Lydia?
Brown?
Yes.
A.C. Bird?
Yes.
Kate Campbell? Mark Hernandez? Bob Lederer?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin? Yes. Rosalinda Palacios?
Yes.
Richard Phelps?
No.
George Ryder? Serene Roberts?
Serene says yes.
Julie Rodriguez? Wendy Schroll?
I regret that I have to abstain.
Deb Shafto? Okay. A.C. Bird? No, you already. Okay. Lydia Brezon?
Yes.
That might have been Julie who came back on.
Oh, Julie, are you there?
Julie Rodriguez?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there anybody else on who I haven't called? All right. Nine, four, one against, one abstention.
Madam Chair, this is Richard. I would like to announce that I will be preparing a minority report and anybody else that wants to do it with regard to the composition issue to present to the PNB.
Okay.
Oh, my.
On mute. Okay, next on the agenda is the bylaws timetable. Bob, if you want to go ahead and present.
Okay. This is specifically in relation to an amendment that's already been offered by myself and five other directors, a bylaws amendment concerning the role of at-large members on the board. And in a nutshell, it calls for increasing the possibility of the election of at-large members from one to two. The current bylaw says there can be one person elected if they're nominated by three assemblies of delegates, and this amendment would expand that to two, so that the total board could be up to 24 members. The reason I'm putting this on the agenda tonight is not to discuss the merits of it, although, I mean, that could happen also, but simply that there's a problem in the procedure that was followed up till now concerning this. And this didn't become clear till somebody very helpfully looked up California law on this. This amendment does increase the total number of potential directors of the Pacifica Foundation, and therefore it kicks in a special provision of California law that any such amendment to bylaws has to be ratified by the membership. So that means there has to be a ballot, you know, at all five stations as to whether this amendment will be approved or not. This is assuming it passes the PNB and at least three of the five delegate assemblies. So there's several hurdles to pass before it is adopted. But in any case, what that kicks in is a whole timetable that's in the bylaws that doesn't match the timetable that is going forward. The 60-day notice that you're required to have before the board votes is what was activated in the end of March. But now we have to go on a different timetable, which is that it says, let me just read this excerpt from the bylaws. It says, if a vote of the members is required hereunder for the approval of any proposed amendment, then no later than 60 days after the vote of the board and delegates above, written ballots shall be distributed. And it goes on from there. But the key point here is that we obviously can't afford to have a separate election this year that's just about voting on a bylaws amendment.
Okay.
It really seems to me, I think everyone would agree, regardless of where you stand on this bylaws amendment, that we can only afford to combine a referendum on a bylaws amendment with the pre-scheduled LSB election that's, you know, for which the ballots are going to be mailed out according to the bylaws on October 15th. So if you work backwards, when it says, you know, no later than 60 days after the vote of the board and delegates, then the way I figure that is that you'd want to start this, and then there's this separate 60-day period that it has to be announced on the air and on the websites before the board votes on it. So working backwards, we have from October 15th, it says no later than 60 days. So actually, it doesn't have to be a full 60 days. So I would recommend that that we aim for having the last of the delegate assemblies vote for it by no sooner than 45 days before the ballots are mailed out, October 15th. So then we'll know whether it passed three delegate assemblies or it didn't, and therefore should be on the ballot or shouldn't. And so then that would mean that to get the 60 days notice before the board votes would mean we'd have a notice date where you start the announcements at around June 1st. I know this is kind of confusing to follow on the phone, and I'm sorry, but the bylaws are kind of intricate on this. I'd be happy to answer questions or clarify anything that's unclear.
This is Wendy. Did we lose our chair? Julie?
No, I'm here. Who wants to be up deck?
Wendy?
Arpal.
I heard Wendy and who else?
Arpal.
Arpal, okay.
Yeah.
We'll start there. Go ahead, Wendy.
I'm dismayed that our six directors who put forth the amendment hadn't looked into this part of it. I mean, I'm happy that we're hearing it now. So my question is, I don't know about your station, but our station has already been running the announcements about this bylaws change. I can't listen all the time, so I don't know if they do it constantly, but I heard it a bunch of times. So my question is, now if we change this, how does that affect our on-air announcements, which are, you know, things that the membership at large, what about our on-air announcements that have been happening now? We have to change them and start all over again?
Well, I'm afraid that's right. I think, you know, because of this situation, it does, in order to be done properly, you know, it has to go on a different timetable. So obviously this has to be approved by the PNB first. This is a recommendation to the PNB that hopefully they would take up at their, if possible, at the next meeting, which I think is May 8th, to kind of stop the clock on the announcements that are already running or stop them from going forward and then set a new date of what I'm proposing be June 1st, and then the announcements would go from there.
Can I ask all of you, since this is something that affects, you know, so many of our listeners, who some of which could care less about any of this, how many of your stations are running these announcements right now? Is WPFW running these announcements about the bylaws?
Yes, I believe so. I'm not sure.
Is WBAI?
I don't think so, because there's been a lot of computer problems lately. I submitted the text for a cart, but I haven't heard it yet.
Never?
No.
KPFK?
Yes.
KPFA?
KPFA has actually voted against it already.
I'm not talking about what they voted. I'm talking about has the station been running the required announcements on the radio? Yes?
Yes, but I think they'll be taking them off because we voted.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just thought that would be informative to the body.
Okay, thanks, Wendy. Arpal?
First, I need to know what the motion says. I have what you sent, but it's huge. This whole thing isn't the whole motion, is it?
Okay, yeah, the motion is just the first sentence of the email I sent. The rest is background for people to understand.
Oh, the PNB Governance Committee recommends to the PNB that the PNB determine the notice date for the amendment offered by the six directors concerning the that large direction June 1st. Okay, I have that. We had a discussion last year about the bylaws thing, you know, if we had to send stuff out. And I was impressed by one person's argument regarding how sending that thing out with sending out a big bylaws thing that, you know, is going to be somewhat confusing, I'm certain, to most of the listeners, sending it out with the LSB ballot is liable to cause problems with the LSB election. And I think the LSB elections are very important. We have to have those, and they have to function. And I think we could end up with a real problem if we say, well, let's make sure that we piggyback them onto this. So I'm not at all sure that I would ever be in favor of putting the one of these bylaws things, which are can be quite Byzantine, with the LSB elections. I'm concerned about screwing up those elections.
Could I be put on the staff with Rosalinda?
And this is Lydia, if I can be on the stack as well.
And Wendy again, please.
And Bob.
All right, 1 second. Let me write this down. Rosalinda, Lydia, Bob, Wendy. All right,
Wendy,
go ahead.
Wendy was ahead of me.
What's that?
Wendy was ahead of me.
Oh, sorry about that. Go ahead, Rosalinda.
Is this a legal question we'd like to pose to our legal counsel?
Julie, could I give a stab answering?
Go ahead.
I don't actually see any legal dispute here. I think the positions that you're hearing are policy, you know, are positions, but there's not, I don't think it's a question of what the law requires. It's a question of what's wise for Pacifica to do.
What's what?
What's wise or unwise to do.
Okay, so my question was if we don't put it on the ballot for the voters to vote on, are we legally, you know, in violation of the state law?
Now, the bylaws gives us, us being the PNB, leeway as to the timing of any vote on an amendment to the bylaws. It actually says the PNB sets the time that you know, when it'll happen. So it's up to their discretion whether they want to make it coincide with an LSB election that happens to be happening at about the same time, or just say, no, you know, for the reasons our Paul said, or for any reasons to say, no, we think it's wiser to do it as a separate mail process.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
Okay, Lydia?
Pass on to the next person and come back to me, please. I'm looking something up in the bylaws.
Okay, Wendy?
I think part of the answer to Rosalina's question is that, Bob stated it in his foreword when he said that when you change the number of directors, it does need to go to the listenership, the members of the foundation. And if you remember, while we've been through, we had a PNB who became self-selecting. Part of the problem was that they decided that to add a lot of at-large directors. These were people that weren't necessarily coming from the stations. It was a lot of what the whole battle was about in the movement that resulted in all of us in the new structure, you know, all of us being on the board and the new structure and everything. I'm having a bit of a problem with the governance committee being asked to approve this new amendment, because if you guys all remember, we actually had our one meeting we had before this was before the national board meeting, and this is a governance issue whether to add new directors or any of that, and it was not brought to this committee. It was brought by two people that happened to be on this committee. They didn't ask this committee's advice about it. They just went straight to some people standing around waiting to start their board meeting in L.A. and said, hey, you want to sign on to this? You know, we got a problem. The problem is, you know, the minority representation on the PNB has fallen short. And so, you know, we didn't get to approve them asking for this amendment in the first place, and now we're asked to change this timeline on it. And, you know, I'm glad that we're being asked to do it, but I don't really understand why we weren't before. And I think I think the whole thing is crazy, and I will be urging everybody, I guess some of you have heard seen me do this already, to vote against at-large directors. What the bylaws framers had in mind, which include most of the people here, that at-large director positions would be used, the one position provided for in the bylaws, after we all went through a bitter fight to be elected to our to be elected at all and to be elected to the national board, is that we could use that position to bring in some kind of amazing expertise in the form of legal or perhaps accounting or perhaps amazing progressive celebrity that would give us extra credibility. To use this position in the way that it's being proposed now, and to add another one, I think it's to the credit of the PNB that they haven't used this ace before, and to use it just because we can't all handle our own business, you know, and understand that not only is it the right thing to elect, you know, people of every color to our boards, but that, you know, we could actually lose a lot of money if we don't, I think that the stations will be able to handle this. You know, it's a no-brainer. So I totally am opposed to this amendment in the first place. I'm really opposed to sucking up our listeners' time with unprepared, unresearched motions, and that, you know, we've been telling people, oh, yeah, here's what we're going to do, and then we're now going to say, oh, no, sorry, we're going to do something else. And so, anyway, I'm done.
Okay, Bob, unless Lydia, are you ready?
No, pass again.
Bob?
Because now I lost my thought.
Okay, well, first, just as to the purpose of the amendment itself, which Wendy just commented on, I have thought from the beginning of the bylaws rewriting process that we needed to have a mechanism to look at the outcome of these elections after they happen and say, well, who's not at this table who should be? I mean, and I agree with Wendy's examples about expertise. I think that's another form of inclusion on the board that each board might want to look at and say, you know what, we don't have any attorneys, we don't have anyone with particular financial expertise. I think all those things are legitimate and relevant and should be looked at. But in terms of community inclusion, look at the current board right now. We have one person from South Asia, or of South Asian background. We have no one, we have no other person of Asian heritage and no one from East Asia. We have no indigenous person on the board. And there's a lot of issues in those communities that Pacifica needs to be thinking about what is the best way to serve those communities. You know, I could go on and on with examples, but I think it's absolutely legitimate, with or without CPB money at stake, that we have a mechanism to fill in gaps on the board, and sometimes one seat may not be enough to do it. That's on the substance of the amendment. But as far as the process here, all I'm proposing with this June 1st date is that we help the board go through a rational process to follow the bylaws and do things properly. And in terms of what our Paul was saying earlier, yes, one could argue that it's a little less confusing to have a separate mailing that talks about that just focuses on an amendment as opposed to the election of board members or local board members. But the reality is we are really in bad shape financially. I don't know offhand the price quote that it would cost to do a mailing to all five stations to 100,000. I believe we have about 100,000 members, but we know, everyone on this call knows, it would be an exorbitant expense that would require laying off people throughout Pacifica, and I just don't think that makes any sense. People are used to voting in local elections where there's people on the ballot and there's constitutional amendments on the ballot, and I think people can handle it. I think, you know, that there can be debate that's incorporated into the overall debate about the election itself, and I think that's manageable. But I really don't think we can afford this. And the other issue is the quorum. That to be valid, any amendment has to pass by the same quorum that a LSB election has to pass by, which I think is 10% of the members. And I think the chances of getting, no matter what the amendment says, it's not because of the nature of the amendment or because some may think it's technical or whatever, I think any amendment is not going to attract as many people responding as an election to the board. And so I think it's another powerful reason to combine the two so that you're sure, because then it would be a total travesty. You would have spent thousands of dollars on postage and printing, and then you didn't even get enough people participating to have a valid result one way or the other. So that's why I think they should be combined.
I'd like to be on the stack. It's Richard.
Lydia, are you ready?
I'll just speak to it briefly because I have to go in and off and on the call. And, of course, you know, the way that this came about was as a result of not being able to have anyone, despite the race and nationality training, despite the briefing by the woman of the CPB Association, scaring us to death on this now to some degree, but also offering some hope. And the hope and what it was that I happened to have honed in on, and as you know, I wasn't there Sunday to explain myself because I thought of this after I heard the woman from CPB speak.
NFCB.
In the training. I'm sorry, pardon?
NFCB, not CPB.
NFCB, right. But she gave us, what she had said is it could take some time for them to actually cut us off. So she did not believe that they're anxious to do so. On the other hand, anyone that has ever tried to look into all of the criteria for receiving this money finds out in short order that it's not there except on the application and at the discretion of CPB. And that's a plus and a minus. In this case, hopefully it would be a plus. And so my intent was, okay, if we move to do this, then if by June there is no director that will step down and somehow have a remedy of having a a person of color take their place, then at least when we have to report in June, we can say we have made a good faith effort to remedy our situation and that we have gone to the extreme length of attempting to amend our bylaws, even if we have to go to a member vote, and of course that would take months. But that would carry tremendous weight, especially if at some point in short order we could even, you know, nominate at least a couple of people of color or whatever. But anyway, intent for remedy usually carries, in these kinds of situations, bureaucratic situations, it carries a lot of weight. At least it absolutely indicates that we truly want to have the kind of representation that they are aiming for and requiring of us as an incentive. And so that was my thinking, and that it was not my preference by any stretch of the imagination, but it also does not mean that it would be a totally tokenistic thing. As we had discussed, those of us that voted for an at-large seat to begin with, it would be to fill whatever the void is on the board. At least that's what we had discussed here. And yes, some of the examples were professional expertise, but certainly movement expertise actually upstaged that in our discussions here at KPFK. And part of that, you know, could clearly be not discussed at the time, but certainly in terms of diversity of our board, when we were talking about professional expertise or movement expertise, it was to create balance on our board so we could achieve both if we wanted to utilize these seats. But again, that was not, you know, my preference. However, we find ourselves in the situation we find ourselves in, and I still strongly believe that a good faith effort, because it is sincere on the part of those of us that want to see a more diverse board. Okay, and one more thing, and I don't think it's necessary to bring it, and so we didn't mean to, like, slight the governance thing. It was a spontaneous, immediate need because here we were with all of our directors, no one coming forward and definitively saying they were going to step down in order to facilitate this. So that was the situation on the ground. Having said that, if this body is uncomfortable passing, you know, this amendment, we don't have to belabor it. We could just bring it up at the board and get voted up or down on amending the timetable if need be. We'll have another PMB meeting on May 8th. Okay, thanks, Lydia. Richard?
Yeah, I'm concerned about this, and I guess partly I'm just reacting to some of the things that Bob said. You know, to me, this is a political struggle. It's not a quota struggle, and we have to deal with this, not worrying about money, but we have to deal with it because it's right to deal with, and we have to deal with it at the local stations about recruiting people to run and dealing with it at that level. I think one of the things that Bob said that I'm most worried about is just the opposite of what he was talking about. I think a lot of our members, when they see that kind of a sort of what they're going to consider a violation of the past in a ballot with their ballots for the LSPs, they might just say to hell with it, and it might kill quota right there. Because, you know, that was self-appointed boards was what the major problem was back then. And, you know, some people didn't seem to get it on the board when it came up, but I was in L.A., and I saw the reaction of many people in the audience, and a lot of them went, what are we doing here? I just think that it's a real sidetrack from good principle politics to be worried about the money to the extent that you're going to play with the history of your organization and mess with an issue that's basically a political issue that needs to be worked on. And somebody, I can barely hear myself.
Yeah.
What's all that noise?
Somebody needs to mute.
Hello?
Six right now.
Man.
Thank you.
Anyway, you know, I think that we, if we put this in the election with the other part, we may be regretting what we've done. And I know in the past there have been people who've not wanted us to make quota, so I don't know. You know, there's all kinds of tendencies in this organization, and I'm just concerned that, you know, in the last election, a couple of stations just barely squeaked by. I mean, barely, by very few votes. And this could take some of our traditional members and have them say, to hell with it. If they're going to go do this, I'm not going to vote for anything and send any more money. So I think it's really a very, very questionable thing that we're taking up here. And I think we should leave it alone. Deal with it in other ways than that.
This is
okay,
AC.
Thanks, Richard.
Jim Brown?
Yeah, AC Murdo.
A brief statement I would like.
Go ahead, Jim, and then AC.
I have to, as you were talking, I had to think back at the original intent of the Committee of Inclusion was to monitor these things so that we wouldn't get to a situation like this. I'm for us looking at the possibility of, or looking at rather, an amendment or something that would demand that this Committee of Inclusion look at these kinds of things so that we don't run into a problem like we have in Houston, that we don't run into any other problem like this, that we don't have to tax or burden our voters for an additional amendment because of some work that we haven't done. If we look at the bylaws and look at the what the Committee of Inclusion was set up to do, and one of them was to monitor these kind of elections so that we don't have this kind of a problem. And that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thanks, Jim. And then AC?
Yeah, what I wanted to say was that I think that, Richard, whether you intended it or not, you poisoned the atmosphere by using the term quota. We got to go back to the original purpose for this in the PPB in the first place. It was designed to address the issue of representation by people of color, and that federal monies would not be going into assisting anyone without a consideration of the representation. So it's an issue of representation, not an issue of quotas. And that argument has always been used in opposition to having representation. And so I, in that regard, I think if we remember that, then we can, that's the way we should see it, and I think we should go forward with it without respect to quotas. And I think we need to tell people what this is really all about and why.
Okay, that's, thanks, Casey.
Yeah.
Is there, are there any additional comments?
Richard, I'd like to say a thing or two, briefly.
Okay. Briefly, before you go ahead, is there anyone else who hasn't made a comment yet that would like to comment? Okay, go ahead, Richard.
I would just like to say, in response to what AC said, I believe representation is very important, but the representation and how you get it is just as important, because there's a political aspect here, and we have to be conscious of that. And I think there's also going to be some potential problems with doing this way, as Wendy talked about, from the history of this organization, that, you know, there's a lot of people out there, at least in our area, that really don't want us taking CPB money. I mean, principally are against it. And so, you know, the fact that we're going to mess with our bylaws to do something that a good number of people out there don't want to begin with is getting precariously close to losing some good numbers of our members. And I have no problem with representation being, you know, far beyond 50%, as long as it's elected with a proper, you know, political debate and discussion, and that the people that are picked, you know, because of the politics they have and the dedication to the mission and so forth. So the representation issue and how we get the representation issue are different issues. Thank you.
This is Bob.
And this is Lydia, if you can add me.
Okay. Go ahead, Bob and Lydia. And I just, before that, can I just check really quickly with Rosalinda? I've been asked to do a last-minute presentation. Would you be able to facilitate the rest of the discussion? We have the rest of this item and then one more item on the bylaws election timetable. And I apologize
okay, but,
for the short notice.
But the problem is I don't have a pen or a pencil, so I don't have the agenda because I'm driving. I'm on the freeway right now.
Okay.
So that might be a little hard for me.
Oh, no, I was just going to see if our Paul could assist you in just reminding you about what the last agenda item is and then
okay.
also helping to keep the stack.
Great.
I
okay.
just came
well,
off mute, so I missed part of what we just said.
Just if you could support Rosalinda if she takes over as chair.
This is Grace Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I think I'm sorry, but I think for Rosalinda's safety,
yeah,
she
shouldn't
be burdened with chairing on the road while she's driving. That's silly.
And I'm going to speak as a lawyer. You talk about not having lawyer expertise. Giving her that responsibility, knowing she's doing that, if she got in a wreck, we could probably get sued.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I don't want her to get hurt. My cell phone. I actually have an earphone on, so I'm not using my hands. But
good for you.
The stack would be pretty hard for me to do right now. I'm sorry. I just
walked over to your car to see if you had gone there.
Pardon me?
Julie, can I offer a suggestion?
Go ahead.
Yes, please. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw things to
Can you can you ask the body if they would consent to appoint someone else as the chair after you have to leave, as the pro temp, chair pro temp?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Would anyone like to volunteer for that?
I nominate Bob.
Bob, do you accept?
Well, if no one else wants to. Okay.
Who's nominating?
Jim.
Bob was nominated.
By Jim.
That was not my intent when I made the suggestion. I was hoping someone else would come forward. So if someone wants to, please do.
Okay, are there any objections to Bob being pro tem chair for the next agenda item and a half?
Oh, you stupid ass.
Okay, and if folks could please star six and mute themselves when they're not talking. Okay, thank you, Bob, for taking that responsibility on. I believe you're next on the stack, and then Lydia.
Okay, so Julie, are you leaving right now?
Yeah, I am going to have to step off the call. I apologize, y'all. It was a last-minute presentation I was handed. So if folks can send me any agenda items for our next meeting, which will be the third Thursday in March, that would be great. Thank you all, and don't forget to support immigrant workers' rights on May Day. Take care. Peace.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank
you all. So let's reconstruct the stack. I had Lydia, myself, who else speak? All right. Well, let's go with what we got. Lydia?
Oh.
Lydia, are you there? Hello? Lydia?
I don't hear her. I think she said something and then she just blanked off.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll go ahead and speak, and when Lydia comes back, she can...
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Please, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It was a mute thing, and my headpiece fell off, and sorry. No, I was just going to mention is that, you know, we got into this bind because we had faulty legal, in my opinion, we had faulty legal advice at the time. Just so happens that some of us, and Rosalinda can also attest to this, some of us who have been on the council committee for choosing the corporate counsel, all three firms that we spoke to and asked the question that was asked at the time about the 50% and so on in relation to our bylaws, they all came up with the opposite opinion, which was that requiring 50%, that putting 50% into our election dynamic in order to achieve the diversity was perfectly fine, that those other decisions that apply to the universities absolutely do not apply to us. So we went down this road, unfortunately, again, with bad legal advice. We now have what we believe to be great corporate counsel that we can refer some of these issues, and I agree with Rosalinda that aspects of this and objections to this might be raised that would require us to ask counsel, but now that counsel will be on retainer, so it will be far easier to get that kind of input. But the point is that what we have discovered and the situation we find ourselves in, and those of us who have worked on issues of affirmative action and diversity and everything that's fair and just in relation to the community, absolutely know that when left just to a voluntary dynamic, it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't happened here. It hasn't been achieved in some of the local elections. But beyond the local elections, we never even came up with something that would define a 50% on the national board. And we thought it would be enough to just have a pool, and that's just simply not the way it's ever going to happen. And AC and others can also attest to this from firsthand experience and historically, is that is why we have affirmative action. It is still the best way to achieve that kind of diversity, and to think otherwise is just, you're just not in touch with what's happening on the ground in just about every community. And so, and organizations as well. But anyway, so that is all I wanted to say.
Okay, I'm going to call on myself. I agree with Lydia's comments, and I would also add in response to the comparison to the methods used to hijack Pacifica in the 90s, that this bears no similarity to that whatsoever. This is being, first of all, the whole process we're engaged in is being done by elected boards at all five stations. It's being done with total open meetings. And if there were, if a future PNB decided it wanted to have one or two at-large members, they would have to go through three delegate assemblies to be nominated. Again, open in open meetings, elected by elected people voting for that person to be nominated. The same with at the national board, at an open meeting, it has to be a majority vote to add that person to the board. So I just think, and the total number of board members would be 2 out of what would now be 24, a tiny fraction compared to what happened in 98 and 99, which was to make the entire board self-selecting. So I really think that's a completely invalid comparison. And on the related point of whether people would allegedly be so disgusted that this even appears on the ballot that they wouldn't vote for their LSB members, that seems very far-fetched to me. If anything, the people who care the most passionately about the nature of our bylaws and whether it's truly democratic or whatever their concern might be, they would be the most determined to make sure they cast the no vote to stop this amendment that they think would be destructive. So I think it's just unthinkable that combining the referendum and the LSB election would depress the voter turnout. So I don't have any concerns about that at all. I think this is the prudent thing to do at a time, especially at a time of financial difficulty for us. And so I think we should just move forward to recommend a process that makes sense in terms of the calendar. So
is there a stack? Yeah, Wendy.
Arpal would like to be on.
Okay, so I have Wendy and Arpal. Anyone else want to speak? Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to speak.
Sorry, who was that?
Grace Barron.
Okay, Wendy, Arpal, and then Grace. Wendy, go ahead.
Thanks. I had to step off for a second, and so I only caught kind of the last part of what Lydia said, but I did want to, from what I got, I did want to point out that with this, we've now had a couple of election cycles, and you know, it doesn't seem to me that there has been a huge problem with the diversity of the board. We happened this year to run short by one member, and that is completely different than what it sounded like to me was that, you know, this was such a horrible infraction. I mean, we have one member short. I happen to agree that we should not let go of these CPB funds. In our stations are facing a lot of turmoil right now, and the one thing we can count on is the CPB funding, and we do indeed get a substantial amount of money extra for having a diverse board. And that said, you know, that no matter how much people tried to paint people that didn't want to have the constituency model or you know, the later incarnations of that, there is no failure at this time. There is a failure of going by any of our bylaws at all. We have all kinds of violations every day. We just pick and choose the ones that we want to recognize. So, I mean, that sucks. The whole thing sucks that our boards cannot figure out how to work together and that we still go by all these same political divides that have been happening over the last couple of years. If we want to, I haven't seen any real commitment from anybody. I'm not going to say from anybody, but the issue is Pacifica. And, you know, at some time, there's going to be times when different incarnations of people are the best or what's best for the board. And people want to just, you know, keep reenacting their old battles. I mean, that's what's happening right now. This is, you know, after all we've been through, now we all just continue to look for loopholes to figure out how to get our way again. And what we need to do is think about the organization. And all that said, you know, we're not supposed to be debating the merits of the issue at all. The motion was about whether to change the timetable or not. So I wonder if we want to get back to that or we want to have this governance debate now, which is awesome. I think it's a very productive conversation. But what are we doing here? Are we trying to solve all the problems of the planet right now on this call, or are we trying to decide whether to change the timeline on the amendment, on the bylaws?
Is that a question you want answered, or are you just putting it out there for the group?
Well, how much time does everyone have, I guess, is my question, because there are a whole lot of problems. I mean, the problem of diversity is huge. So are we going to solve it on this call? I don't know. I just think that we're reenacting something that was solved a couple years ago. Maybe not the way everybody would like it, but I don't feel that we've given it a chance to work. And to say now that now we're one member short, therefore, you know,
yeah,
it needs to be changed. I don't know.
Lorraine Stack, please.
Okay. All right. So I have Arpal, Grace, and then Serene. Arpal, go ahead.
I think AC might have just said something.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, Arpal.
Yeah. I'll solve all the problems of the planet in a few minutes. But first, I want to say we're short by one person. There's provision for a single at-large director. So can't we just use that instead of amending the bylaws? Why can't we use what we already have and put somebody in if we need to?
I'm sorry,
also,
can I answer that? That's a factual question I have the answer to.
Okay.
If I may. The bylaws requires that to happen by February 15th of each year, so we've passed that deadline. So it can't happen until next February 15th. And the CPB is going to rule on this in June.
Maybe.
Okay, so
or not,
sure.
According
right.
to Lydia, or not.
Then the fact is we're already screwed if that's the case. The other thing is, what if, say we add two, and then what if we're just short again the next time? I mean, you see that there can be a progression here of we keep adding and adding and adding, and we could end up with some serious number of extra people added on there, of extra at-large delegates. And I also am very, very leery of adding the at-large delegates, however we do it, even if it's, you know, you want to say, well, it's by these open delegate things. Well, okay, but still, there are, you know, you're adding people on, and gee whiz, majorities will be determining everything. So three majorities on LSBs will be able to add up a whole bunch of these at-large people, and you could have a serious screwing up of the governance structure of Pacifica. So I am against the motion on the floor, and I think that there's no need for the entire thing that it's even related to. I think that if the CPB is going to rule in June, we're screwed anyway. We can't get anybody at all on by June because we're going to be, with this current thing, we're going to be mailing them out with ballots that are not going to be counted until December 1st or so. So no matter what, it'll happen by February 15th of '07. So we can add one if we need. And you know what? The elections may solve the whole problem anyway. That's it.
Okay, great.
First of all, I have a question that referring to something that Arpal just mentioned. Can't we change the February deadline, the bylaws February deadline, for the appointment of one at-large board member?
This amendment does include the removal of the February 15th deadline, but it has.
Why
to
don't
go-
we just have that as the bylaws amendment?
Well, we could. That's one other way to go. It would only provide for one at large rather than two.
Okay, but that does solve our CPB problem.
No, it doesn't, because of the 60-day process we have to go through. So that the PNB would have to start. Let's say your proposal was agreed to by the PNB, so they.
Point of order. This is not supposed to be the chair going back and forth with everybody.
No, but I have a specific question.
Well, yeah. Others of us could answer that question, too.
Okay, well, I'm going to rule that I'll be happy to have Richard answer it as well. I'd like to give, since I was the author of the motion, I'd like to give my answer to the factual question she's asked, and Richard or anyone else can chime in or contradict me. So, in any case... The 60-day process means that we're not going to finish the bylaws amendment process until I don't remember what it would be offhand now, but I think it would be August, July or August. So that's not going to work for the immediate thing. So, Richard?
Well, I was just going to say part of what somebody said earlier is that we don't know exactly what CPB is going to do and when. And if we're making a good faith showing that we're trying to deal with the situation, I think that there's a good chance that, you know, they would give us some grace. And if we're going to do the one person, which we don't have to do the bylaws amendment for, and that will change it, and we're just going to take a little time to do it, and we show them we're doing it, I don't think they're going to take away our money. That'd be my opinion. You know, that would be silly. But you never know with that organization. But I'm just thinking that, you know, we may be going through a lot of convolutions here when there's a simpler way to do it.
This is Wendy, Bob.
Yeah, hold on. Grace, were you finished?
No. Can I just say the rest of what I have
to
say?
Yeah, please. Go right ahead.
In listening to this conversation and also discussing it in the KPFK LSB Governance Committee meeting last night, I think that I agree that this is very problematical. However, being a pragmatist, we may have to go along with this bylaws amendment because we are unfortunately not in the financial position where we can just contemplate the elimination of this funding at the moment. So, I think this bylaws amendment, as it's proposed, is the lesser of two evils. However, if there's any other way to get out of this problem, I think it should be explored because it's just very unwieldy. It could create a problem of discouraging people from voting in the LSB elections themselves. And, I mean, I know that I get ballots from other organizations. And if I'm not really committed to an organization, even if I've given them $100 or however much I've given them, if I have to sit down and start to figure out how to vote, and it's going to take me hours to research the people, or, you know, I just go throw it right in the recycle bin and say, I'll let others decide who know better. So that's going to be the tendency of other people who are not as committed as we are to Pacifica or to our local stations. So I have a lot of reservations about this, but if there's no other way to get the funding, we have to bite the bullet and be in favor of the bylaws amendment. But I would say that possibly, is there any way that we can appoint a person late, just say, well, we appointed them late and we slightly violated our bylaws and they don't have voting rights, but we consider them a board member and they'll be seated in January or something like that. Maybe that would fly with the CPB and we wouldn't have to go through this whole agony.
Bob, can you add me to the stack? This is Lydia.
Sure. So I heard...
I'm done.
Okay. I heard, Wendy, did you want to be added?
I think I'm next.
No, Serene's next.
I'm after Serene.
Yeah. So then Wendy and then Lydia. And just very quick answer to the last factual question that Grace had. Lonnie Hicks, I think, talked to the CPB about what they consider acceptable, and it has to be a voting board member, not a non-voting member. And also it would take two people to be added to reach 50%, not just one person of color. That's where we're at now in the numbers. Okay, Serena's next.
Yeah, I just briefly wanted to point out to people that the 50% is not a maximum representation. It's a minimum representation. So, you know, oh, well, you know, this is the first time that we've missed it and we're only down one. You know, this language really concerns me, hearing from members of a supposedly progressive organization throwing the term around quota. I wonder whether or not I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh, because that's exactly what I heard him say last week. The fact is that we have the COIs. whether or not they've functioned to broaden the base of candidates is certainly an open question, I think, in virtually every area. And I'm surprised at some of the resistance that's coming out of an area where they have lost more people of color. I think, what is it, 7 or 8 people of color have left their local board, and they currently have no people of color as part of their national contingent. But there's an amazing, you know, level of resistance to this, which would provide us with an opportunity to diversify the representation on the national board. And while I am not surprised, because I have I've been paying attention to what folks have been saying and even more to what they've been doing, I am disappointed, and I continue to be disappointed by the behavior of some among us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of getting one or two more people on so we can you know, get the CPB money. It's a matter of, are we really open?
Mm-hmm.
You come out, you have a Northern California where there's a huge Japanese American and other Asian population, and except for one member, and I don't know if it's proper to name him, who's you know, of South Asian background, where's the melanin? I mean, you know, the level of melanin phobia that I'm hearing on this call is extremely disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.